You're listening to Garden Talk on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And we're trying to reach right now our guest, Melinda Myers, to talk about forcing bulbs in pots. And, you know, whether you're forcing them to bloom inside or designing displays for outside in the spring, containers are a great way to display your bulbs. And we want to talk with Melinda about this. And we're just having some trouble reaching her right at the moment, but I think we'll get her on pretty quickly. Melinda, of course, a nationally known gardening expert, a TV and radio host. She's a columnist with over 30 years of horticultural experience, and so it's always fun to be able to talk with her about pretty much anything. But we wanted to zero in with her today to talk about spring bulbs and forcing those bulbs. I think it's kind of fun to do, although I have a lot of trouble myself with it because I've got two cats, and if I want to do it indoors, it's a problem. It is a problem. And I don't know if you've had that problem. The cats, one cat in particular, just loves it. So while we're waiting on, I was going to go back to Laura and talk with her, but we've lost Laura as well. So you know what we're going to do? We are going to spend a little bit of time. We'll keep trying to get Melinda Myers on the show, but in the meantime, since it's just you and me here, we are going to talk about potential topics for upcoming Garden Talk shows. And maybe we'll get Melinda on before we have a chance to get too far into it. But if you've got an idea for a Garden Talk show, I hope you'll join in. We'll get a couple of ideas, and then maybe by that time we'll have Melinda we got Laura back. I'll tell you what, we'll take some ideas about future show topics in the Garden Talk area, but we can go back to Laura Gels back with us now as well. Laura, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Larry. They said me being online does, because I wanted to listen in on Melinda's talk too, but they said me being online doesn't prevent her from getting online, I assume. That's what she said, but I've forced bulbs many times in my life, and it's really fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about bulbs, and of course we can take it the other woody questions as well. Is it difficult to grow spring bulbs in containers in your experience?
No, not at all, and it's really really fun. I started doing that back when I was a teenager, living in my dad's house, and I'd put the pots in the bottom of the refrigerator, and you know, he'd go to get a beer and open the drawer, and there's pots of dirt. But you can do it in a refrigerator, or commonly what I've done is just in my garage, unheated garage. You want to make sure to get a pot that has drainage holes. That's very important. And you don't want to use topsoil. You want to use potting mix, something that's well-drained, but it can retain some moisture. And there's a plethora of things, a number of bulb species you can use. I mean, tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, you name it, muscari. And it's really fun. And the length of time it takes to force the bulbs is dependent on the species. And anywhere from, you know, like 12 to 16 weeks. And it really depends on the plant. There is an extension fact sheet that Brian Huddleston has from the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic on forcing bulbs. And it talks in great detail of how to do it, and including the species and how long it takes. So what I do is I just get, you know, a pot. Clay pots work really well. And I fill it up with potting mix, not topsoil, And then select your bulbs. I like to combine various bulb species in a container so that in one pot I can have daffodils, I can have dwarf iris, I could have, scilla or squill and other things in the same pot. And you're probably going to want, you know, most of them require at least 12 weeks, if not more, and more like 15 weeks to get it to, in cold storage. And basements aren't cold enough. You want something that is going to stay typically above, I mean, the pots are going to freeze in your unheated garage, but I have done it and it worked beautifully as long as it's not like 30 below zero in your garage, which most people's garages aren't. And you can add some fertilizer, but it really is not necessarily. Everything that the plant needs is right inside that bulb already. The flower primordia is already there, and you want to keep it moist, not wet. You want to have good drainage.
Laura, thanks a lot for staying with us on this. And here I find Melinda Myers. We've discovered Melinda. She was...
Hey, thanks, Ty and Laura. Thanks for covering. We're trying to squeeze in some last-minute video, and we're fighting sun and clouds, and I was like, oh, no! So thank you, Laura, for covering, and Larry and Jill for your patience.
Okay. Yeah, I'll shut up now.
Okay. Good. I'll see you on Thursday.
thanks, Laura. Thanks so much for sticking around with us. Well, I'm glad. Sure. Did you get the shots you needed?
Well, the cloud cover looks good, so I only have a little bit more to do. So as soon as we're done here, I'm probably back out there. But, hey, it's November. What can I say?
Laura was talking a little bit about bulbs. When you're letting them overwinter outside in a garage or, sort of an unheated area. But what about, I'm wondering about growing bulbs for indoors.
Yeah, so a couple things you can do. I'm a real fan of amaryllis. Anyone that follows me on Facebook is probably sick of seeing my amaryllis bloom the first, second, or third time. But they are so fun and wonderful. You know, you can plant them. They're available now. You can still get some online, or garden centers are starting to carry them. And what I find wonderful is you can select a variety. So you could have flowers for the holidays and then January and February and March. So if you want them for the holidays, they're usually labeled, the amaryllis are usually labeled early blooming or holiday bloomers. And these have been raised in South America. So you think about South America, they're entering spring as we're entering fall. So their bulbs are like ready to start growing. So those are the ones that sprout faster. The ones from the Netherlands, they're, in the northern hemisphere, their seasons are the same as ours. So their amaryllis bulbs are heading into their dormant period, and that's why they bloom a little later. And so I just find they're fun plants to grow to add color and beauty. And you just pot them up, put them in a container about, maybe an inch bigger in diameter than the bulb. Leave the upper half of the bulb exposed. Water it well. Put it in a cool, bright place. And you don't need to water as often until the plant starts growing. Keep it slightly moist, but not wet, and you won't have to water as often. But as soon as that bulb sprouts, you're going to be watering more often. And just in just a short period, you go from nothing. You may have to wait a couple weeks for the growth to start, but then you go from nothing, right, to this beautiful flowering plant. And there's so many more available, not just the reds, but bicolors, ruffled petals, some doubles. And many of them will put up two flowering stems, and so it's really just a nice reward for you as a gardener. For those people a little intimidated, you could look for waxed amaryllis bulbs. And I don't know if you've grown those, Larry.
I haven't.
They're a lot of fun. So these bulbs are dipped in wax, and you don't do anything but set them in a cool, bright, not direct sun location. No water, no soil, and it's an amazing thing. You have to find one, because when I've given them as gifts, I've had people call me and say, now I plant this, right? And I'm like, no, just enjoy it. And I have to admit, as a gardener, after they were done blooming And, you know, I pulled the wax off and potted them up, and then I saved them and got them to bloom again. So that's another way, especially for your non-gardening friends, or I love them and I like to garden, so I grow ones I grow in pots, or you can grow them in water too. I should say, put pebbles, put water in the base, set the bulb on the pebbles, and then the roots go in the water. You keep the water below the bulb, and then you've got that flower.
That is very, very cool. Diane in Fitchburg has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Diane.
Hi there, Larry. It's a pleasure to talk to you and Laura today. I have a couple of trees that I take out every spring, and I let them grow in my driveway, and then I bring them in and I put them in my basement. And this year I've got them in my garage, and I would just love to take these trees and have enjoy them in my house. What could I do to change them up so that they don't get pests or whatever into the rest of my plants?
Yeah, and what kind of trees are these?
I have a ficus and a rubber tree.
Okay, so indoor type plants. Okay, thank you, Larry. That was my question. And I'm going to just let you know you're talking to Melinda now, just so if you don't like my answer, don't blame Laura, okay? But the ficus, both are ficus, the weeping fig and the rubber tree. They're in that ficus group of plants. And changes in environment you may have experienced can cause leaf drop. Even those, I have one in my upstairs in my house that stays indoors all year, and I even get some leaf drop with the change of seasons because the light intensity is different. So you probably know that, but for others that may not have experienced it, just so they don't worry. And so you would like to keep these in your house, right? Not in your basement or in your garage. I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought.
Into the house they're supposed to go. She would like to put them in the house. She's a little worried about
the bugs.
The bugs.
Thank you. I was paying attention. I'm very sorry. Okay. So here's what I would suggest. If you have a place that you could isolate them from your other plants, because you're right, anytime we move plants outside and then back in, we take the risk of bringing in insect pests along with them. And so if we can isolate them for a few weeks and keep an eye on them, then it's a good chance if there is a problem, we're only treating those two plants and managing it so we don't infect all of our other house plants. I like organic products, things like Summit Year Round Spray Oil, which is a lightweight horticulture oil. So if I discover mites, aphids, scale, those kind of things, I can treat the plant. It's organic, but it kills the egg, the immature, and the adult, all stages. So that's one of the positives. The downside of organics is you have to repeat your application, right? Because if you miss one and don't get good contact, it's not going to die. So you may need to do repeat applications. Hosing them off in the shower, before, if we get another warm day, hosing them off outside can dislodge a lot of aphids and mites, and that can help reduce the problem. You could even do your first application outside. If the temperatures are warm enough for the plants, it'll be warm enough for that product. And then just monitor and keep an eye on them, and that'll really help a lot.
Diane, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Gail emailed wondering about pots. For what type of pots do you use for if you're going to
force?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I typically do plastic pots. I'll often buy these when I was in the greenhouse area. We call them azalea pots, but they're shorter and wider. And that way you can get a good display. And that's if you're doing a single layer. And I joined you guys. I was listening to Laura, and she does what I love to do, mix them up so you have layers of bulbs, your bigger bulbs at the base, and then partially cover those tulips and daffodils, maybe some crocus, cover it, maybe some squills. And so you can have multiple layers. A friend of mine gave me this wonderful pot. It was probably a 16, maybe 18-inch pot, probably about a foot, foot and a half deep. It was a big pot, but he gave it the chill in his garage, shared it with me, and it was wonderful because I had a month of blooms in my house. You know, first the early blooming squills and crocus, and then some of the tulips and daffodils. And so if you're going to do a lot of bulbs, especially multiple layers, you're going to want to go with something a bit deeper. When I'm just doing a pot of hyacinths or tulips, I'll just do a pot that's probably about 6 inches tall and maybe 12 or 15 inches wide, depending on how many I put in there.
Makes good sense. Jay in Plum City will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Jay.
Hey there, Larry. Quick question. This summer, I took some hydrangea cuttings, some arborvitae cuttings, and put them in moist sand and, you know, a small percentage rooted. You know, I maybe got a half a dozen of each, and I'm just trying to figure out what the best way to overwinter these. Should I bury the pot in the garden or bring it in the garage or what to do with it so they survive? They're small.
Well, and Jay, congratulations, because getting any of those to root, you know, rooting shrubs is much more challenging than rooting houseplants and annuals. And so that's why propagators in the nursery business are so important, because that's such a great skill. So good job, Jay. So you could do one of two things. You could sink the pot outside in a vacant part of the garden. I would put a cylinder of hardware cloth or a cloche of chicken wire over top, because they'd be good eats for animals. Or you could put it in your unheated garage as well. Kind of similar to what Laura was saying with your bulbs, the soil needs to be moist, not soggy wet. What I find, we lose a lot of our tree shrubs and perennials and other plants we overwinter in an unheated garage. It's dry soil, root desiccation, that damages them. And so when we get that warm spell, you know, that happens in February often, January, check and make sure, and if the soil's dry and thawed, give them a shot of water. And that's a good way to ensure that they're going to make it through. So I'd say either way, but for sure, give them protection if you put them outside. And I've even had voles in my garage. And so one year I'm bringing all my pots out and half of them are eaten. So it was like, why didn't you do it before I put that away? So, I use Plant Skid, which is an odor-based organic repellent. Now I always treat the soil before I store plants, because I'll never make that mistake again.
All right. Jay, thanks very much for calling. Melinda Myers, our guest. We've zeroed in a bit on forcing bulbs, but have taken a couple of other questions as well. You can join in. 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Great to have you with us for Garden Talk on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert, TV and radio host, author, and columnist, over 30 years of horticulture experience. It's always great to have her stop by as well. And if you have questions, We talked a bit about forcing bulbs in pots. We can take some other questions as well. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. And Jean wonders, when you force a bulb, does it mean it can't be used again?
Great question. So we're all gardeners, right? So we're going to try planting them and get them to come back. And so I usually, whether I get a gift of force bulbs or I force my own, I usually keep them growing in a sunny window, water, give them a little fertilizer after they're done blooming. So let them flower, remove the faded flowers, stems, and then, you know, give them a shot of fertilizer. Then when it's the danger of frost has passed, I'll put them in the garden where I'd like them to grow. And that next spring they may or may not bloom for me, but hopefully the following year. Now, keeping in mind a lot of the new varieties of tulips have been bred to be floriferous, right? Great flowers, but not necessarily long-lived. And hyacinths can sometimes be short-lived. But, you know, I think it's worth it. I have some hyacinths from a basket of my mom's funeral back in 2014. And every year, a few of them come up and bloom for me. And I'm like, well, it was worth the effort. So, you know, worst case, they just kind of decline and you add them to the compost pile. But hey, I think it's worth giving them a try. And then some gardeners let them dry out and store them till fall, but you've got to remember where they are and remember to plant them, right?
Yes, that is, and remembering what they are to begin with.
True, good point.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so those bulbs could, you know, they might, it might work and it might not, but most of the time you're going to get some success from the sound of it.
Oh, you bet. And, you know, one of the cool things, and I have to share this, I always learn something from gardeners because everybody has different ways. And one gardener had a prefab water garden. And, you know, in the fall, he emptied the water out. And he potted up his hyacinths, put them, the pots, stacked the pots in there, covered them with straw and put a board over top, gave them the needed cold treatment, lift the lid, handed out the, you know, pots as he needed them. Usually takes about 4 weeks for them to bloom. Gave me a pot, and they were some of the nicest hyacinths I've seen forced. So definitely worth it. And, you know, one thing we didn't talk about and I didn't mention was paper whites, those paper whites that are very fragrant. So
yeah.
Make sure.
Okay. Yes.
Does that mean that a little too much maybe? But they're wonderful. They're a type of narcissus, daffodil relative, but they don't need cold. So if you're a little intimidated or you're like, I don't have a place to put these, you might try paper whites. And they're wonderful plants because, again, you just pot them up. You can either grow them in soil or you can grow them in pebbles. So kind of like we talked about with the amaryllis, get a watertight vase or pot. Fill the pebbles in the bottom, place the bulbs in that, and then keep water just below the bulbs. Now, years ago, I was watching, I was pretty little, so a long time ago, Johnny Carson, and he had an older gardener, and she was had her bottle of gin, and she was, yeah, so you can tell this was memorable, and she was talking about forcing paper white bulbs. And, you know, you could imagine the conversation, but she said that it was very, that alcohol would stunt the paper whites. Because if you've ever forced them, they do tend to stretch and get a little bigger and taller and kind of flop over, right? And so one of the nice parts is this stunts them. And, this was a long time ago, and you're like, okay, sure, that's really going to work, right?
A shot of gin.
Exactly. Anything to keep you happy. So, Cornell University, I think it was, did research and they found that it's really works. So when the leaves are about 2 inches high, 1 cup of 80 proof alcohol mixed in 7 cups of water, and then you use that in place of the water. Don't go any stronger. And you, of course, use the bad stuff, not your favorite. And they said it really helps stunt them enough so they tend not to flop. So kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, you should get a video of that for your show.
I think we'll add that to the list.
You know, and speaking of show, you always have so many events. Tell us about some of your upcoming events.
Well, as I mentioned before, I'm going to speak to Laura's class, her horticulture class. I'm very excited, future professionals. And that's the last one of this season. But all my webinars are recorded from this year and a few from the past. So those are available to listen to, you know, as you want to take a break from the holiday prep or winter blues. And then I'll start appearing in January again. I'm meeting with some master gardeners in January, and that starts the road show and the webinars as well. And I want to thank everyone who shared ideas for topics. We're trying to weave in as many of the requests as we can because, you know, this is for them as well as for me.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So give us a preview of what you might be talking about based on some of those comments, perhaps.
Well, I'm going to be at the Garden Expo again, and we just picked the topic. So I'm going to do foliage color throughout the growing season, so looking for plants that provide colorful foliage. I'm going to do year-round color in your landscape. I haven't done that for a while, and, you know, how do we get through the year, right? And winter is coming. And then I'm also doing, and boy, isn't that terrible. I'm trying to remember the third one. I'm working on the descriptions right now. And, oh, and it's growing herbs, vegetables, and fruit in containers. Because I think so many of us love fresh from the garden veggies and fruits, and our herbs make the meal. But having a pot right out your back door, or if you don't have room, what a great way to have some homegrown flavor.
I love it all. And I'll be at Garden Expo this year, too. Normally we come on Saturday and do a Saturday morning show. But this year we're going to do our Garden Talk program live from Garden Expo on Friday.
Oh, that's excellent. And it's always so much fun when people can see you and join you live. So I'm going to try to sneak over if I'm not presenting at that time and at least say hi.
Well, in fact, they'll be opening a little early, February 7th.
Right.
February 7th, and they'll have to open it a little early for the show, so you can...
That's right. I'll make sure my booth is set up. I'll have a booth again this year for answering questions, and then I'll make sure I'll have time to come over and say hello. That's great.
Yeah, and Lisa Johnson, Brian Huddleston will be with me again. It's always a lot of fun. All the details... Jill Nadeau's reminding me, have not been worked out yet. we're going to be over there, and we're going to be having a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. Well, I always look forward to both you and Laura. It's always fun to have you on, and next time we'll get back and we'll do this all over again. Thank you so much for coming over, Melinda. I know you are a busy, busy person. So it's great to...
Well, thank you. Thank you for your patience with me. My apologies again to you and your listeners. So thank you.
No problem. We'll look forward to her next visit. Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert. She's got so many wonderful books that she's written over the years. Does TV and radio, and it's always fun to have her with us. Just look ahead to Monday on the show. Our physical therapists are back to talk about the importance of keeping your muscles in balance. And then at 12:30, we'll talk about seasonal affective disorder. So that's on Monday's show. Thanks for joining us for Garden Talk. This and all of our shows are a team effort, of course, and our want to thank our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn, and our executive producer, of course, is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.